The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. Time for Everything You Need to Know. Kip Kiefer, as per usual, in the seat here to bring you up to date on all of my different thoughts and hopefully not rantings this week, because I think I've got a real solid subject that hopefully everybody will find interesting as we move along on a brand new week. I do want to send out condolences and prayers and everything possible in terms of strong positive karma. What happened last week on Maui, one of the most beautiful places in the United States, where the combination of some wildfires and the offshoot winds from a hurricane that was 300 miles south of the island. But the bands of those, of course, can create stormy conditions and high winds. And it was just a deadly combination of 80 mile per hour winds that drove the flames that were in some of the remote places on the island and carried it just like a blowtorch almost across the entire island in the matter of less than an hour. And can you imagine the horror of a wall of flames just being propelled by 80 mile an hour winds just upon you before you even know what's coming? There's a lot of second guessing today, 5 or 6 days later, of the lack of warning systems for people on the island. Right now, the death toll is getting up over 1,000. And there's still like 1,000 people unaccounted for. 2,700 homes and businesses absolutely incinerated, burnt to the ground. The whole town of Lanai is pretty much destroyed. And it really hits home for me because my broadcast partner, Terry Quillian, lived on Maui just a couple of miles from Lanai for a number of years. And I'm sure her neighborhood that she lived in this specific house probably suffered that terrible fate. So thankful that she's back stateside and was not there for that. People were literally running for their lives, and many headed right down to the beach and dove into the ocean and treaded water for hours, hoping that that would go ahead and subside. So really one of the most horrendous things that you can possibly imagine, being consumed by a wall of flames. And even if you escape, it completely decimates everything you own. What a horrible thing. So all my best to those folks as we kick off the show. We're starting to get into presidential season. The first debate, unbelievably, for the Republican candidates is coming up in about a week in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. No word yet if Donald Trump will be appearing at that particular session. But before I get into the subject today, which basically is, if I was a candidate, what would I do my first day in office if elected? What is the very first orders of business in a new administration? I'm going to share my thoughts on that, and any of the candidates that have their hat in the ring that are happening to be listening, it's a good time for you to gather around. Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, come on down. Ron DeSantis, you can need a shot in the arm in your campaign. Kip Kiefer is going to share the keys to victory and what you should campaign on. Okay, Trump, you can come too if you can get away from your lawyers for a few minutes, or they might be about to indict you for throwing a candy bar wrapper on the street or some other high crime or misdemeanor. But all comers welcome. Robert F. Kennedy, come on down. I'm not welcoming good old Uncle Joe because he's got to go. Joe has got to go. Not only is he totally ill-equipped to handle the job, and I know some people that listen to this show might think I'm a little tough on Joe, but Joe deserves to be hammered. This guy is an absolute disaster, and it's not even his age or his incompetence. This is the most corrupt politician in modern day history. And every week, more and more evidence is piled on that you may not be hearing about, depending on where you get your information. I read everything that I can get my hands on and make my own decisions. That's what I always urge all of you to do. But just before I get into the subject matter of the day, which is talking about the platform that would be a winning strategy for any candidate that aspires to be president, I want to give you a quick example of just how awful the situation we're all in with this guy as our commander in chief is. The families of the 13 service military folks, men and women, most of them under 25, who tragically died at the Kabul airport 2 years ago during the chaotic evacuation of Afghanistan, where we left $80 billion worth of equipment behind for the Taliban to use at their pleasure. That suicide bomber that killed 13 service people who were checking in and identifying credentials of those that we had promised passage from Afghanistan, and really the shocking lack of security that led to these people's death, has been a big subject lately. And all 13 of those families had family members, mostly parents, testifying last week to Congress. And the testimony of one lady who lost her daughter was particularly disturbing because she said that she was already agitated watching Biden shifting his weight and acting like he didn't want to be there. It was in the middle of the night when the plane was coming back with the bodies of the unfortunate victims of that suicide bombing. And again, so many young people, some of our brightest stars, just eliminated so unnecessarily. The plane landed. Biden was reported by a lot of the folks to be checking his watch constantly, like he couldn't wait to get out of there. And as he came and, quote, consoled family members, he walked up to this woman and said to her, I know how you feel, both Jill and I, which of course is he didn't refer to her as Dr. Jill, like she wants to be called with her doctorate in education. But he and Dr. Jill know exactly how you feel because we had to have this same experience when our son Bo was brought back in a flag-draped coffin from his service in Iraq. Now, this woman was very well educated and already, was leery of Joe Biden. And when he said that to her, she said she got physically nauseated and started shaking because she knew that Bo Biden died in a Boston hospital of a brain tumor. He did not come back in a casket with a flag and did not die in service to his country in Iraq. That's what Joe Biden told her. Now, Fox News has dug up, and I just happened to see the clip. I got an alert on my phone and watched the clip of Joe Biden appearing at least four times at campaign rallies and political events and other speeches, where four times he's told that story in the last year and a half of how his son, who was in the Delaware National Guard and was deployed briefly to Afghanistan, didn't come home alive, and he had died in service to his country. And it was such a staining experience for Joe Biden. It's an outright falsehood. And it leads you to wonder, is this guy so delusional and so demented now that he actually believes that's what did his son in? And again, my sympathies to his loss, losing your son in his 40s, when he was the Attorney General of Delaware and looked like a bright star up and coming. To lose his son is just a horrible thing that I can't even conceive. And I don't know what that does to your mind. But if he's so demented to believe that's was what did Hunter Biden, or not Hunter Biden, what did Bo Biden in, or is he just lying and using that extreme example of his son's death for political purposes? And either scenario, and it's got to be one or the other, he's either completely delusional and believes in his mind that's what happened to Bo, or he's just telling a blatant lie to advance his political agenda. But either one of those scenarios is absolutely horrible. If he's that bad a liar, which we know he is, because he had nothing to do with his son's businesses, didn't know anything about his son's business, and didn't ever speak to his son, Hunter, about his business, when Joe Biden was the business, contact and influence from Joe Biden is what they were selling. That in, they includes Hunter Biden and both of his brothers, predominantly his brother James. That's what they've been peddling all over the world for the last 20 years is Biden, Joe Biden influence. So, Joe says he didn't talk to Hunter and James about their business overseas. Well, Joe Biden was the business, and Joe Biden has done more than talk. There is so much evidence now coming to light every day of meetings that Joe Biden had and direct influence that Joe Biden had. And of course, we know about the threat to withhold U.S. aid to Ukraine unless they fired their basically attorney general that was called the lead prosecutor. And sure enough, Ukraine did that. So, I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. This is the most corrupt politician who has made millions of dollars with selling his influence and using his agents, his son and brother, to go out and do the dirty work. So with all that being said, I'm sorry, Joe, I'm going to have to exclude you from my campaign briefing. Everybody else, come on in, gather around. Once again, RFK Jr., you're certainly welcome. This is not a partisan situation. If I was elected president, my first order of business, when I walked into the White House on that first day, the first act of my administration would be to start staffing my cabinet. And I would not, absolutely would not even consider anybody who had previous Washington experience. Excuse me. They're not welcome. They're not allowed. I don't want Washington lifers. I don't want career bureaucrats. I have no interest in staffing any of the departments, bureaus, agencies, and my cabinet with any of those people. I'm going to bring in and interview the best and brightest. I don't care what age they are. I don't care what race they are. I don't care what religion or gender they are. I want the most impressive, accomplished business people in the country to come in and fill those spots. And the first order of business in their new duties is to assess their departments, their bureaus, their agencies, and scrutinize them for all these people that have just been collecting a check for a number of years and doing nothing except for putting pressure on behind the scenes to be the de facto unelected leaders of our government. How much of our lives is dictated by bureaucrats in the EPA or in the Department of Education, or sadly now in the Department of Justice and the FBI and the IRS and our intelligence services? It is time to absolutely clean house in Washington. It's the only thing that will allow this country to survive. The greatest growth industry, the most money-making operation in human history, needs to be pared down to what it was intentionally designed to be and has far, far exceeded with a bunch of fat cats who are self-entitled, live in this professional class elitism, and think they are smarter and they are the ones who need to be calling the shots. You didn't vote for them. I didn't vote for them. All of these Washington bureaucrats need to go away. And the Donald Trump campaign slogan, Trump, you had a good slogan a few years ago, drain the swamp. And then what did you do? You came right up and hired a bunch of swamp creatures to staff some of the most important jobs in your administration. That was the great Trump mistake. And I know he learned from it. And he's going to make it different this time if he does get back there. But for all the other candidates, first order of business, drain the swamp and really drain the swamp, because it is an absolute must for our country's survival. Number two business order. I talked about this last week. There's the desire to make America great is a just and noble cause. Now, I don't stick the again on there because that would make me a MAGA Republican. And that is not the posture I'm taking here. I want to make America great. And I concluded last week's show by saying that we can't make America great unless we make America great for all Americans. And that means that it's time to roll up their sleeves, and whatever party you're in, it's time to address problems that are facing real Americans and stop sending it. And this ties in with another one of the objectives, uproot and burn the money tree. It's time to stop just passing around billions of dollars all over the world, most of it falling into corrupt hands, a lot of it probably being kicked back to the politicians and the administrations that are awarding these huge dollars. Department of State, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, the Clinton Foundation benefited by tens of millions of dollars while she was Secretary of State. How about that? What a coincidence. Anyway, it's got to stop, folks. Because we've got real Americans who are living in dilapidated, destroyed inner cities, getting just enough money from the government to barely survive, living on crime-ridden streets where every weekend hundreds of shootings and deaths occur from these gang violence in cities that are controlled by Democrat leftist leadership that now subscribes to the theory that the criminals are the victims, and it's racist or it's absolutely improper to jail anyone who's committing heinous crimes. So these people just basically go through a revolving door. If they are arrested, they're right back out an hour later, and the crime rate is swelling to just a ridiculous level. And it's time to really get in there and clean up these inner cities. And the very first thing, the first ticket to the American dream, is to solve the problem that all of these people face being trapped in their specific spots that don't have the means to get away from there to a better place to live, that and fix the education system. The schools in these areas have dropout rates of 75 and 80%, and the students that do stick it out are so below performance levels in order to be a functional adult and citizen that it's absolutely deplorable. The teachers' unions don't give a damn about students anymore. It's all about everything for those particular entities to channel money to all of these liberal left-wing causes, all of these Marxist approaches to everything. And it's time to really intercede there and give people school choice. That's what needs to happen. So then a parent can make a decision what the best educational opportunity for their child is, and they're not locked into the local cesspool that's called a school where teachers don't care. All they care about is their salary and benefits. Handling students is and giving them a proper education is not a priority. And also, a lot of them that do have the right attitude are basically have their hands tied because the curriculum that they're required to teach is all of this leftist baloney that teaches young people that America is a terrible country and you can't be even in allegiance with your family or your country's heritage or history. It's just indoctrination instead of education, and things they really need to know are not being taught. So that's the first ticket to success. Donald Trump, with Tim Scott as his partner, the senator from South Carolina, had started economic opportunity zones in some of the inner cities that funneled in a lot of revenue. The billions were giving to Ukraine and all of these godforsaken places around the world. And the billions we're spending on illegal people crashing our borders needs to go to Americans. Americans need to be the beneficiaries. Let's see what they do in response to the Maui disaster. But the bottom line is Americans need that help, and Americans should come first. but they don't, because the only thing these people want from these folks that are in desperate straits is their vote. They could care less about their plight and the deficiencies that they face every day and their lack of opportunities for their children, who are basically taught from day one, don't even bother to try and infuse yourself in business and industry or any hopes of a future. Your skin color condemns you. This is a racist country. You can't achieve anything. And with that messaging, no wonder we've got the problems we have. It's got to stop. It's got to be reversed. America cannot be great unless all Americans have the opportunity and the access to be great. And that's a major step that could win you so many votes and so many elections if government just stopped talking a big game and actually started doing real things in these communities. I told you the story of Ms. Mailer, the representative from Fulton County in the Georgia State Legislature, leaving the Democratic Party and becoming a Republican recently because she said she was fed up of all talk and no action from the Democrat Party in terms of helping people in the inner cities with poverty and crime and all of the other lack of educational opportunities that they face. She said, I'm tired of hearing about their just talking about it. She supposedly, the last straw, asked somebody, are we going to actually develop a program here and do something this time? And she says the response she got was, well, we're basically formulating some ideas just to give those people hope. And she said, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm becoming a Republican. It can't be any worse on that side, because the Democrat Party really does not care about impoverished people or lack of opportunity. All they want is to be reelected. And you heard Joe Biden say in the campaign, if you're even thinking about voting for Trump, you ain't black. Well, that says it all, that you don't have any right to individual opinion or individual freedom to make your own choices. You are, in these people's estimation, duty bound to always vote Democrat. And unfortunately, in our current system, the Democrat Party has sold out to this radical leftist globalist movement. And really, the implosion of our country is their real goal. And I've rambled on too long on that subject, so I'll give you quickly the highlights of the other points. Border, it goes without saying. My first day, I would send the resources and the personnel to finish the wall, secure our country. Isn't it ironic that we are supporting Ukraine because the invasion of their sovereignty and their borders is at stake when our borders are wide open and our sovereignty is very much threatened with 7 million illegal entrants to the country and counting, which our government is stepping up and promising and delivering education and housing and cash support. It's ridiculous that these people from all over the world who are not bedraggled migrants who are fleeing evil regimes. These are people that are being flown to Mexico from all over the world and dropped off by buses right at the border to crash in our country. This is all orchestrated, folks, and it's got to stop. Election reform. How about this for a concept for my new administration? Elections will be held on Election Day. Isn't that a radical departure? This voting 2 and 3 months prior to an election is just such a ridiculous idea. It's just rife with corruption. There's no check and balance to prevent somebody from voting every day for a period of weeks and also requesting absentee ballots and voting that way and receiving ballots from different partisan organizations and even showing up on election day and voting again. It's out of control. 35 million more people allegedly voted in 2020 than voted in 2016. It's absolutely preposterous. It's not true. Ballot harvesting is the worst idea of all time because the partisans in the Democrat campaign and the Republicans weren't smart enough to utilize that loophole in 2020. Donald Trump got 75 million legitimate votes, which is the most any incumbent president ever received. But Joe Biden got $80 million, which was about $20 million more than Barack Obama ever received in his two terms. 80 million people voted for a guy who didn't campaign, stayed in his basement, afraid of COVID, supposedly. But his handlers were really the ones afraid to not let him go out in public and make any statements, because you never know what he's going to say. He's not equipped for the job. He's a puppet on strings being manipulated by behind the scenes people that you didn't vote for and didn't elect. And ballot harvesting is a lot of the reason why. It's people going out and supposedly finding folks that are eligible to vote, getting them to cast their ballot and sign them. They put them in a big box, drop them off by the hundreds at vote collection agents or locations. And how much of that is fraudulent right down the line, where they just fill out these ballots for these people that are supposedly voting and have no idea that they are. It doesn't take much common sense to figure out that's exactly what's been transpiring for a long time. So I've rambled on. I had a couple other ones, but I'm out of time here. But I hope that's some things to think about, that if you're a candidate for president, those are things on the first day you need to do. Clean house, secure the border, create opportunities for all Americans, and let's get elections under control. Because, you know, adhering to the Constitution is a pretty damn good idea. The founders had it right. All the things they envisioned that could go wrong are going wrong now, because we have people that fancy this Marxist giant government agenda, where the payday for anyone in that scenario is just for the professional elitists and the corporate conglomerate, the big tech companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the major military operations who make planes and helicopters and bombs. All of those people are in cahoots with the media. All of these people are in this professional class that think they know better than you how to run your life and run this country. And this is a government for the people, of the people, for the people, by the people. And we better step up and take control of it back by putting the right people in office who will do the right things and surround themselves with the right people to clean up this mess. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's Need to Know for this week. I'll be back tomorrow with Tony Curry for another Kiefer and Curry. And don't forget our show in Birmingham, our television program on ABC 3340, debuts September 2nd, 10:30 a.m. Kiefer and Curry starting lineup. Can't wait to get that rolling. I know you're going to enjoy it every week and love the cast of characters we've put together. I'm Kip Kiefer. Have a great week, everybody. If I decide to run for president, that's my platform. I would appreciate your vote. Have a great time once again this week, and I look forward to visiting with you again next week at the same time.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.